You know, we know that this is about the impacts to elephants and based around the ivory trade. But this is not really focusing on the animals that are actually killed. It's about all the other elephants. So just tell me a little bit more about what exactly this film is depicting.
So when I ventured into this film, there were a lot of films out there already that were looking at the ivory trade and poaching and the effects on animals specifically that are affected directly by poaching. And so a lot of those films were kind of the gory side of it or the militarized side of it. But the story that wasn't being told was the story about the elephants that survived, so the babies that are part of the herd. So when the adults and the subadults are killed, the babies are actually left behind. A lot of them actually see what happens to their mothers and their relatives, and they're traumatized by that. But the poachers actually don't take the babies because they don't have ivory. And so they just leave them to die in the wild. And so organizations like Game Rangers International, which is based out of Zambia, have facilities such as elephant orphanages where they're able to take the elephants and raise them in a new herd, a herd of orphans, and raise them until they're old enough to be able to release back into national parks and survive on their own. So my point of doing this film is to really show that other side that's not really talked about much, which are the survivors, and show their stories. And where I was going with that is to make sure that we really do our best to connect people with elephants. So in showing these elephants, you know, they each have their own personalities and traits that are very familiar to us. You know, we can relate to them in so many ways. And so trying to get that across in the film of what their personalities are like and what their characters are like, and just try and share that in a way that maybe we can connect with them a bit. And in that connection, hopefully think twice before we buy ivory products. And in doing so, I should say that, you know, my target audience is really those people who where the demand for ivory is coming from. And so that's not necessarily our direct communities here. You know, we all kind of know about ivory and the effects of the ivory trade, but there are a lot of other communities and areas where, you know, this maybe isn't as known as far as what the effects are.
Absolutely. And so, yes, this is an issue that continues because of a trade that is happening overseas. And it affects elephants that are overseas as well. So I'm really curious as to why this is like one of your things that you champion.
So my career has been based around doing outreach and films for conservation, wildlife conservation. So that's always been my focus. And it's not just specifically elephants. It's a variety of species, but there are species that are either in decline or are threatened in some way. And this particular project came about because I had a connection with the manager of the Elephant Orphanage project in Zambia. And so her name is Rachel Merton, and she's in the film. She appears in the film. And she actually called me up in, I think it was 2008, and that was when she was heading to Zambia. And she said, "Hey, Kelly, I'm going to Zambia, and I'm starting up this elephant orphanage. You know, this is kind of a neat thing that you might keep on your plate as a potential film someday." And we kept in contact over it, and just kind of what we wanted to do was wait and see how did the orphanage, you know, do? How did it come about? Because we wanted to give it a few years, make sure it was successful, make sure it got off the ground running before we went in and started filming things. And so quite a few years later, then I went to Zambia and filmed the documentary, but we gave it some time. So the orphanage has now been around about 10 years. We filmed this documentary 5 years ago, so it's actually been a work in progress for quite a while. It took quite a while to do the post-production and editing and get it out there. So it's been kind of a long-term project in my heart.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so this is something that kind of piqued your interest 10 years ago, and then 5 years ago you went to film and then have been doing post since then.
Yeah.
Okay. And then I'm really curious about how you got into documentary film. You know, that is not something I can imagine somebody takes up lightly.
So my background, I got a bachelor's in science from the University of Montana in wildlife biology. But when I was studying wildlife biology, I knew the entire time, and I told my professors I was not going to become a wildlife biologist. So I was going into it more for the aesthetics. And at the time, I was really heavily into wildlife photography and wildlife illustration. And I knew I would somehow go into more of that creative side of things. And after I finished my bachelor's, I realized, okay, filmmaking is where I really want to go. But I combined that with all my other skills. I had graphic design skills. I had worked as a graphic designer, not in the wildlife field, but in other fields. And so I kind of combined all my skills into a career where I could make the most how and benefit for conservation. And so it's a combination of skills. And so the film has always been there. The video part has always been there because it's such a great tool for getting messages across and sharing messages about conservation around the world. But it's always been in combination with other things as well. You know, the design and, websites and writing, and there are all sorts of elements to it. But
you know, I understand that, you know, your interest made this film possible. Your friend being over in Zambia made this possible. But as far as maybe like funding wise, anything like that, how was that made possible?
Yeah, so this film is really one of the heart. So my husband and I are the ones who funded it completely. So when it came down to things where we really needed some help, like narration, we have a professional narrator named Dan Warren. He volunteered his time. So people were extremely wonderful about helping spread the message, because the whole point was to spread the message about the elephants and the plight of these elephants. And so we had some wonderful people work with us on music and provide free music. And we have here in town, Tide Turn is a band. So that's Kelsa and Corin Spurl and Casey Bell. They had a song that Kelsa had written last year, and I heard them perform it at our talent show here in Petersburg last February, and it just was exactly what these elephants are about in their story. It just described what an elephant goes through. They didn't write it for an elephant. I think it was more about a foster child, but the story was the same. And so when I approached them about maybe using the song for the film, they were happy to do so. And so we went and recorded it for the film, and it's in the film now, which is wonderful. And so, yeah, a lot of folks who come together and they really feel for the elephants and want to further the message about the ivory trade and the effects of it. So, you know, everyone's kind of banded together to help, which has been just absolutely amazing. Without everyone's help and input, we wouldn't have been able to get as far as we have with the film. So, yeah, it's been great.
Absolutely. Very cool. And then just one last question. Where else have you shown the film or plan to show the film in Alaska?
Oh, within Alaska? We've screened it here in Petersburg, and that's the only place so far. And we are, so obviously Wrangell next week. We're looking at maybe Juneau and some other places where people have requested to see it. And beyond that, I'm not quite sure yet. So the film has been screened at different film festivals globally, but yeah, I'm just trying to get that out to our local communities here in Alaska. It really started here in Petersburg as a thank you, because back in February of 2018, so last year, I guess it was January actually, we screened it as a test screen for the community because I was struggling with the editing, and I just needed to see it on a big screen. So in our theater, our auditorium here, I needed to be able to kind of see how it was coming together, but then also get some audience reactions. So the community came out and helped and gave lots of great feedback, which really made it into the film it is now, because I went back to the editing room and took in all the comments and made some adjustments and tried to really listen to what people thought worked or didn't work and kind of re-edit it based on that. So when we screened it here last month, that was the final version that no one had really seen, but I just wanted to do that as a thank you so everyone could kind of see how their input and their efforts came across in the final version.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah, those are very handy. You're sort of normal people that haven't been in the process with you, giving you feedback.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was amazing because, you know, sitting here editing, I would ask my husband for some input, but he knows the project really well. He came to visit while I was filming and knows the project inside and out. So it's hard to ask someone who's involved with the project to look at the editing because you just know too much about it. So you need a third party to look at it and give you some really good objective opinions. And people here in Alaska are, you know, you don't need to know anything about elephants or even the topic to kind of get your point across, but everyone here watches films, watches documentary films. Everyone's interested in wildlife and the outdoors, and that's all you need as a qualifier to look at a film and give good feedback. So yeah, it worked out really well.